What's up, everybody? I know you've been waiting very, very patiently, and we really appreciate that. But yes, you are listening to the Brothers of Discussion Pro Wrestling Podcast. This is Rob T, and coming to us via phone today, of course, is my brother, Fanboy Dave. What's up, Fanboy Dave?
Oh, you know, I just didn't want to see you, so I think doing this podcast today, my phone is a lot better.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. Yeah, I know how much I must
because you made an extra podcast. It's all about AEW, which I know you're an AEW mark, but I expect that from you when you say I'm a wrestling fan. But we know you're all about AEW.
Whatever you say, man. Anyway, it's been a couple of weeks, if not a little more, since our last episode with you on it. Yes, we did have one in between where we had a guest host. And once again, shout out to Chris for helping us with that. But Fanboy Dave, what's been going on with you, man? I there's some changes we know that has happened. You want to let the listeners know what's going on with you?
No. I've just been busy. Things come up, things I needed to take care of, new opportunities.
Well, that's good.
Maybe replacing Rob T. No, I'm joking on that part.
Well, that's good. New opportunities is always good. There's a lot going on in the pro wrestling world. I don't even have to assume. I know you did. You saw Survivor Series, I'm sure.
Oh, yes. One of the greatest pay-per-views I've seen in a long time. And the way they started off is the right way with the greatest wrestler of all time. Right now, probably forever. I mean, I probably wouldn't say she's better than Shawn Michaels, but close. Charlotte Flair against Becky Lynch.
Now, did that match end the way you expected it to end? Did you hear me?
You cut me off?
No, I didn't cut you off. I said, could you hear me?
No, you see, you cut me off. See? No, I can hear you now, but I think you tried to cut me off. See? AEW, since I'm not there live in person, you just cut off my mic when you don't want to hear the truth.
I did not cut off your mic. My question to you was, did that match end the way that you thought it would?
No, it didn't end the way I thought it would. But it does tell me, like, I am a Becky Lynch fan, big time Beck. I mean, she is a good wrestler, but she cheated to win. But at the end of the day, I don't know if you saw, but they had pictures of Charlotte going into a gorilla, and she was just smiling. And then you had the interview with big time Bex, and she was crying like she achieved something. That shows you that Charlotte is the best wrestler, and that her standard, she is the opportunity. I mean, because she wasn't crying. She wasn't saying, like, it's the best, or holding, like, all that tear. She just, another day at the office. Like, it wasn't anything big for her. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and she's definitely gone on with that attitude, if you will. I mean, that's definitely the attitude that she has right now with the current, you know, storyline right now going with her and Toni Storm. But, yeah, I didn't think the match was going to end that way either. I thought it was really interesting. I got to admit, the whole smiling at the end that she did and all that, I mean, I'm like, that's, to me, I felt it was like a shoot, you know, and it's kind of like her little, like, and back at the company. It was a great match, though. I got to agree with you on that. I thought it was a great start to the pay-per-view. It definitely kicked things off. Definitely one of the highlights of the whole pay-per-view. Do you think that match was the top match of the night, or was there another one, or what were some of your favorite spots in that whole pay-per-view?
I mean, it was a good match, but, I mean, you got to give the match of the night to WWE champion Big E versus the Tribal Chief Roman Reigns, the Universal Champion. I mean, that match was amazing. I mean, back and forth, two big bulls. I knew Roman was going to win because, like I said before in the podcast, and I've told you, I mean, they want to build Rock versus the Tribal Chief, probably WrestleMania 39. So I knew that was going to end that way. So
Right. Yeah, I mean, no doubt it was definitely a good match all around. Great action. It was a good pay-per-view. I agree with you on that for sure. Now, you were just telling me something before we went on the air that I didn't even know, and I wasn't, you know, BSing around. I really didn't know this. You said...
Wait.
Oh, okay.
Don't you rush it. I still got give two more about Survivor Series, then we can talk about something else.
Okay, go for it. What else you got?
I was really disappointed in the men's traditional match. It was okay. Like the women's traditional match was, in terms of Becky Lynch, straight fire. I mean, that match was very entertaining.
Right, right.
And I think it outperformed the men's traditional match. So kudos to the, like Triple H says, the best women wrestlers in the world want to be in the WWE, and that traditional five-on-five match showed the elite, in your words, the elite talent of the women's division in the best company in the world, WWE.
So why do you feel that the men's match, not that I'm disagreeing with you in any way, but why do you feel that the men's match came up a little short?
It just wasn't not much. I mean, it was just, I felt like it was rush, squash. I mean, it's just one of those things, you know, just, you know, and just
it didn't really grab
how,
you.
How, oh my God, give me a second. Bianca Belair, I mean, just to go, she just showed her display of power and then how she defied all the odds and being the sole survivor. I mean, yeah, Seth Rollins was sole survivor, but I mean, it was just more impressive with the women and, her doing that, you know, this is amazing.
Yeah. No doubt. I agree with you on that. I thought the match was great, and I do think that it was definitely better than the men's match. What did you think about the tag match with RK-Bro and the Usos?
Oh, man, that match was straight up. I mean, the fans were on fire on that. And like I told you, I mean, they're gold, man. They're hot. I mean, that's like white fire. RK-Bro in arena, they're hot.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with that. Now, as far as the outcome of it, I got to be honest, I was a little split. I mean, I kind of felt like they were going to give it to RK-Bro for sure. But there was a part of me that thought they were going to give it to the Usos just because right now Roman Reigns is like the untouchable one. So being that they're part of that stable, I thought that was the route they were going to go, but they didn't.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, as long as Roman Reigns is protected, I mean, the Usos can lose number of matches. It doesn't matter. Because their main goal is to make sure Roman Reigns stays Universal Champion.
Gotcha. Yeah, I agree with that for sure. Any other highlights that stick out in your mind, or even lowlights? I mean, was there anything that you thought they could have did without?
To be honest, it's been so long. I'm trying to remember the whole pay-per-view.
Yeah, so much
has happened now that we can talk about, so...
Yeah. I mean, but I agree with you. It definitely was a good pay-per-view. Speaking of that, by the way, we made an announcement on social media, but I wanted to go ahead and say it on air. Happy belated birthday to you. You just celebrated your birthday, so I hope it was a good one.
It was. It was a good time. Good time.
Well, that's good. That's good. You want to share your age?
Still look young. Still get some girls.
No, that's good. Well, I'm glad you had a great birthday.
But go ahead. You can spill the beans I gave you
before. Yeah, because I want to get to it because I'm really shocked by this. I mean, up until this week, I thought it was still a thing. But apparently, according to what you said, Charlotte Flair and Andrade are no longer an item.
Nope, and she broke up with him. Woo! And I like Andrade, but
she
broke up with him.
Do you think, in your opinion, this was a business decision?
Maybe, but I think at the end of the day, I think, not to say, cause I would never speak for Andrade or her father, but, or even the comments, cause you know, I remember the comments that everybody says on the Facebook page.
Right.
Oh, what's Fanboy Dave going to do when Charlotte goes to AEW? She ain't going nowhere. She's already said she's not going anywhere.
Right.
But I think that maybe they had to do it that if they were pressuring her to get out of her contract and she wants to solidify herself as the greatest woman wrestler or the greatest wrestler of all time, and she can only do that in WWE. So, I mean, she's built so much, and for her to just jump over to AEW, CW, or WWE Lite,
right.
She would have to start at the bottom, not necessarily, but if she goes over and wrecks shop, I mean, yeah, with the fans turning over there probably, but then they're just going to say, oh, they're just giving it to her because of her name. And she's worked her heart and she's worked her butt off from all the way from NXT to the Rise where she is, you know, one of the hottest superstars that Fox wanted on that show.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. And she's still very, you know, she's still very young, and it could be that this decision was a business decision. Of course, we'll never know. That's between them. But definitely a shocker, man. I had no idea that that happened. Gotta say, it's crazy, because you know how they, you know, sometimes real life does spill out onto television. But all I can tell you is that I have noticed the past few weeks that Andrade seems a little more angry when he's in the ring, quite honestly. So maybe that's the reason why.
It could be, but I mean, no, at the end of the day, they can nobody can say that Char didn't like some Hispanic man. So kudos to us Hispanic men. Like, you may have a shot with Charlotte down the road. Woo!
Well, I guess one can dream, right? So I know, Fanboy Dave, you do not watch the AEW product or anything like that, but I gotta ask you, man, because it's setting the wrestling world ablaze. But there's been a verbal jousting session between MJF and CM Punk. Did you hear anything about that?
Yeah. My buddy Coach Kevin told me about it and sent me the YouTube video. Some people would say it was a waste of 20 minutes.
Okay.
Some people.
Okay.
But I mean, did I watch the whole YouTube video? Yeah, I did. I mean,
and what are your? I'm asking your honest opinion. Forget brands, but as far as promos go, I mean, who do you feel won? Who do you feel won up to? I mean, what are your thoughts on the whole thing?
I mean, was it a good promo? I mean, yeah. I mean, sure. I guess I would give it up to MJF just because. I mean, again, CM Punk. I mean, did say stuff about WWE again, and even, you know, making a cheap shot at The Miz, you know, because like I said, just like that, you know, he could have just went at him straight up.
Right, right.
But, I mean, yeah, to be fair, MJF did say the You Can't See Me guy, you know, so he did make reference to WWE too, but
right.
He did say some things that were just like, dang, you know, calling him PG Punk, and I was like, okay, yeah, he's trying to get under his skin and everything, but, I mean, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it was like an overwin for MJF, but I mean, I think he probably had a tad better promo at Punk than Punk had at him.
Right, right. And so, and then this past Wednesday, they had another little sparring session as far as verbally goes. Wasn't, of course, as big, and it didn't make as big of a impact as the first one. But here's what got me, and this is what I wanted to tell you. What was the one thing that you said about Punk when you were over at Shotgun's house and saw the match? Do you remember?
Yeah, I said it wasn't realistic that he was struggling with the 150-pound soaking wet Allen Arby or whatever his name is.
Darby Allen. Okay, so yeah, the reason why I wanted to talk about this is because guess what? That is exactly what MJF said on Wednesday. So what happened on Wednesday is Punk had a match with, I'll be honest, it was a no-name guy, like a jobber. Although I got to admit with AEW, jobbers are not really jobbers. They're guys that are trying to get in, you know? So it's not like they're just laying down. They actually get offense in and stuff too. Anyway, that's not the point. The point is, this guy was pretty much a nobody as far as mainstream goes, right? He may have been in the indies for a long time, but nobody knows him, you know, if they haven't been watching indies. And Punk was struggling, and MJF brought that up and basically said if he was the greatest in the world, he wouldn't be struggling against this, you know, jabroni, basically, this guy that's green as grass. And this is what he was basically saying. He's basically a rookie, and here's Punk struggling with him. You know, Punk's not in my league, and he went on and on basically trashing CM Punk. I just found it really interesting that MJF went the route that Fanboy Dave said first, you know, because you're the one that said it.
Well, maybe MJF was listening to our podcast and he stole my material.
Maybe
that's what happened.
Maybe, man. That would be something else, right? You should be getting the credit for that, but
Should be getting credit because I called it out first. I'm the only one who called it out in all these podcasts, and I know you love Busted Open, but I know they probably didn't say anything about that. I was the only one to call that out.
Yeah. No, you're right. I haven't heard that on Busted Open at all. But yeah, MJF brought that up, and he actually he did an interview on Busted Open Friday, and he said it again on Busted Open that, you know, here he is supposed to be the best in the world, and he can't even seem to hold his own with this rookie and such. So, and then of course it was brought up to MJF that, you know, yeah, but Punk wrestles every week, whereas you don't. You wrestle every year. And of course his response is, I wrestle when I feel it's necessary. You know, so it's kind of funny. He reminds me a lot of you.
Well, I do find something funny, but I'll say it in a second. But then also after that promo, what Edge said to The Miz, because he took a shot at AEW by saying that.
Yes,
like,
he did.
They had so Edge was like, I see you, Edge. I see you. I mean, of course it wasn't like that, but I mean, he did say stuff about The Miz, and he kind of like, well, yeah, it's kind of true. You know,
right,
Miz
right.
is looking for Hollywood and everything. But that MJF said, I read it on WrestleZone, which I could say all the time is my favorite.
Yeah.
That, and I think he stole that from The Undertaker, because, I mean, I would never ever say anything bad about The Undertaker or what he said, because respect the dude. But The Undertaker said that Omos was a special attraction like Andre the Giant. And I said, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Now, but MJF said he's a special attraction like Andre the Giant. I was like, oh, man, pump the brakes, kid. Come on now. You can't compare yourself to Andre the Giant. Now, with Taker saying about Omos, somebody could say something, but I'm not going to say anything because that's Taker. And, you know, and he knows, I guess, more in the business than what MJF does.
Yeah, I actually heard that this morning because I was listening to the playback from Friday. I didn't get a chance to hear it. And yeah, you're right. He did say that. He said, because it was actually Mark Henry that said, you're an attraction. And he's like, yeah, I'm an attraction, just like Andre the Giant. And Mark Henry's response was just, wow. that was all he said, though. But yeah, he did say that, man. He also went on to say that he's not a character. And he said this before. He says, I'm not some guy playing a character. This is me 100%. I know who I am, and I am the best at what, you know, I mean, he just went on and on, and basically he keeps saying he's not playing a character. He's definitely living the gimmick.
Yeah.
You know, so it's definitely making for interesting television on a Wednesday night. Now, you did bring up Edge and Miz. That was one heck of a promo, too. What were your thoughts on that one?
I mean, I thought it was good. I mean, like Edge, I mean, I didn't expect him to say that, but at the same token, I mean, because I know Edge has friends over there, which is the Revival, or what, Dak and who?
Dash Harwood and, oh my God, I can't remember what he called
him. Oh, yeah, Dak's your quarterback. He's not an AEW. Oh, my bad.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's Dax, not Dak.
Yeah, and Cash or something, right?
Cash Wheeler and Dax Harwood. That's what it is.
Yeah, the Revival. What you call the Revival?
FTR. Anyway,
yeah, but I'm just saying, and like, you know, him having friends over there, and like him taking a shot like that, because at the end of the day, it's like, you know, saying that this company over here still has to reference someone over here just to get a pop out of the audience. I mean, that's basically what Edge is saying.
Yeah, pretty much, and. We talked about this last time, man. I get it. And I said this before. I get it. I get why they're doing it. I just don't think it's necessary. It's like, if you're going to stand up on your own two feet, stand up on your own two feet. You know what I mean? You don't have to always reference the competition. I mean, we talked about it last time back in the Attitude Era and, you know, the Monday Night Wars. WCW did not do that. I mean, there were times that they did things and they mentioned WWE, but for the most part, they didn't do that. And it just seems to me that AEW keeps doing that, and I just don't think it's necessary.
And WWE never did that, never mentioned anybody from WCW. The only thing that they did was, of course, the infamous taking the tank and DX down. That was the only thing. Like, DX is in Atlanta, and that was the only thing they've ever did.
Right. Now, in your opinion, do you think, because I think you bring up a good point, and it's been said before that WWE's never done anything like that because they don't need to. They're the top dogs, you know? Why mention the people below you? You know what I mean? But the fact that Edge did what he did and said what he said, Do you think that was a no-no, or do you think that that was, you know, do you think Vince got upset about that, or did Vince okay that? I mean, what do you think?
I mean, I think he went off a little cuff a little bit. I just think he really wanted to piss the Miz off.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not sure it did, though, because he did have that little smirk on his face.
Yeah, you know, and at that time, I got to let his friend get fired and stuff like that. But, you know, I mean, I think, you know, yeah, they're trying to be a little more edgier, but, I mean, they're only going to leave that for NXT 2.0.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And WWE, again, I don't know if Vince is signing off on this stuff, but they seem to be jerking the curtain there a little bit and letting a little bit of the backstage stuff out. Did you happen to watch SmackDown on Friday?
Of course I did. Return of Brock Lesnar.
Did you catch what's his face said? Pat McAfee?
Oh, about the future endeavors?
Yes. And they're
doing I was laughing.
And I'm not going to lie.
I was surprised that they put that in the video package, because I wouldn't think that they would put – I mean, yeah, they own it, but I wouldn't think they would put that in the video package with Eva Marie and Nia Jax.
Right, right. And, and then he goes and makes the comment of the future endeavor steps. Yeah. Oh, my God. And I'm not going to lie. It made me wonder. I wonder if he got yelled at for that, because I think if I've heard correctly, Pat McAfee's kind of gotten his ass chewed out a couple of times by Vince or by somebody because of stuff he said. I don't know if there's any truth in that. What do you know of that?
I mean, I'm sure he got talking to, but it's Pat McAfee. I mean, I'm sure he likes doing that, but at the end of the day, if they were to let him go, he ain't going to be hurting for none. His podcast is popular, and it's just with wrestling fans probably adding on, it's mostly sports fans and football. So with him going to SmackDown, he just made his fan base bigger for people that didn't normally listen to it. Like, oh, Pat McAfee, let's listen to his show. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, I think he'll try to be respectful, but if he can get a cheap line in or a cheap pop or something, I mean, he's just going to say it.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. That's very true. And you know something? I may be slow to the party, man, I know, but it really did dawn on me this past Friday's episode of SmackDown why they have Pat McAfee on SmackDown, being that he is a guy from the NFL. Whenever they do those little advertisements or promotions, I should say, for like the next day they're going to be having college football, Pat McAfee's the dude to do it, you know, so they're definitely crossing over and bleeding into that sports world, which is, I know, what Fox wanted to do, but I don't think they could have gotten anybody better than Pat McAfee to do that. Because, I mean,
oh, for sure. Then you saw that if you watch all the SmackDown, how they arranged for the winner of the SEC was going to get that WWE replica belt that had the SEC place on it.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. I mean, that's huge. First of all, because, I mean, you know, the WWE is always big at doing that, but they do that. I mean, of course, yeah, AEW is a startup company for you, you know, or people that are watching it, but they ain't got that leverage like people like that. But WWE gives their WWE championship belt to whoever wins the NBA championship, the NFL, whenever Packers won, you know, they gave it to the Packers, you know, baseball.
Right.
I mean, WWE is trying to keep that communication with the sports world because they know their sports athletes that love professional wrestling or sports entertainment.
Right. No, and you're right about that. I mean, a lot of what's happened in sports entertainment and, you know, in pro wrestling has definitely become part of the culture. You know, some of these, a lot of these superstars, especially from, you know, the Attitude Era and whatnot, have transcended the brand, and they're their own brand. And, you know, people that don't even watch WWE have heard of some of these guys. You know what I mean? So that's definitely a true statement right there. Well, we're going to take a real quick break, and when we come back, Fanboy Dave, I want to talk a little bit about The Miz. During that promo, the Edge said some things about Miz that were I know it was to make him mad, you know, and it was to get under his skin and really kind of get the story going of the fight between these two. But I think there was a lot of truth to it, and I want to kind of talk about, yes, The Miz has been around for a long time, But is he the same breed of superstar that we're used to seeing? And should he get the same amount of respect? That's kind of what I want to talk about when we get back. So we'll be right back right after these messages from our sponsors.
Fellas, I know how it is. Your hair and beard are looking rough and you need to get it taken care of right away. The problem is, where do you go? Say no more, because I have the perfect place for you. At Hanley's Good Time and Barbershop, you'll get that fresh cut and trim by well-trained professionals who know just how to get what you want. A man's cut and a man's trim. Dallas and Jawan will hook you up with your tailored-to-you cut and beard trim, along with the straight razor shave and a relaxing hot towel treatment. These fellas will give you that old-school treatment where you sit back, relax, and unwind while you get back to looking like a gentleman should. When you walk in the door, talk to old Dow and let him know that the Brothers of Discussion sent you, and he'll offer you a complimentary cold one or a shot of whiskey. Stop by 322 West Hopkins Street in San Marcos, Texas, or you can go online and make your appointment today at hanleysbarbershop.com. Hanley's Good Time and Barbershop, where good times and good vibes make for a great look.
We are back.
Yeah, and I wanted to talk about a little bit more about the Miz and Edge promo, but you said something to me during the break that I know you wanna tell our listeners out there. So why don't you go ahead and do that?
Well, yeah, because I think you even posted it on our website. You said that Sting's new face paint looks badass.
It looks sick. Whatever.
Yeah. Well, come to think about it, I looked at it. And it was starting trending. I don't know what Mr. Tony Khan, I mean, I know he's trying to take mostly everybody from WWE, but maybe he made a call because he made Sting look like John Cena. So I'm guessing he wants John Cena in AEW, and we know that's not going to happen. But I could not stop laughing. I'm just like, wow. And how desperate is Tony Khan to try to make Sting look like John Cena?
And here's the part that really kind of just makes me go, dang it. I thought the makeup looked awesome, but when you said that and I went back and looked at the picture, I was like, dang it, now I can't unsee it. He did kind of look like John Cena, man. He just needed the hat. That was it.
That's it, John Cena. That's the crow.
So yeah, that was pretty funny, man. But anyway, so going back to this promo, man, I was listening a little bit to it at the break because I just wanted to kind of refresh myself. So Edge said a couple of things in the promo, Fanboy Dave, that I got to be honest, I've thought about before. If we can go back a few years, you remember the big promo that The Miz made with Daniel Bryan.
He told him he doesn't get injured.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's every day, and he's a safe worker.
Exactly.
He doesn't put his body online, yeah.
Okay, so, and you've always been a Miz fan, if I remember correctly, right?
Yeah,
so here's my question to you, and this is kind of what I wanted to talk about. On a business standpoint of things, Miz has been very smart, right? He does wrestle safe. He doesn't, you know, put his body on the line like a lot of these other superstars do. He wrestles a safe style, and he takes his notoriety and basically markets himself as a brand, and it goes off and does other things that, let's be honest, business decision wise, he's raking it in, man, from reality shows to Dancing with the Stars to movies and whatnot.
But you got to remember, he came from the real world. I mean, that's where he got his break.
Yeah, well, that's what I was just about to go to. You take a guy that started off on the real world, and then they brought him in. He was on Tough Enough, right? And then they brought him in.
A reality show.
Correct. And they brought him in, and he started doing like little segments where he was not announcing, but he was hosting things and whatnot. So definitely starting from the bottom, and now he's where he's at now. But
he had to earn his way. Remember what JBL did to him?
I do remember.
JBL said he wasn't a wrestler?
Yeah, I do remember. And I'm not saying he didn't earn his way. So here's what I'm trying to say. You take a guy like Miz and a guy like Edge. Edge got where he's at. He put his body on the line. He's known. He's a legend. I mean, do you think in your mind, in your opinion, that Miz is going to be respected the same way that the fans respect someone like Edge or someone like Jeff Hardy? Do you think the respect level is going to be the same, or is Miz always going to be that reality show guy? I mean, what's your opinion on that?
I mean, I think for hardcore wrestling fans, I mean, it's going to be, there's a difference. But I think as far as, like, you know, other wrestlers or superstars or performers, I mean, I think they're going to respect The Miz because every time they were in that ring with him, they knew they were safe, you know, because you do have some wrestlers, maybe not as much in WWE since Nia's gone, that, you know, are sometimes careless.
True, true. He definitely takes care of the opponent.
Yeah, and for sure. But, I mean, yeah, The Miz. But, you know, people can say what The Miz wants, but The Miz beat, who did he beat on same night? I'm trying to remember, trying to think that far back.
Well, he beat John Cena for the belt years ago.
Right.
So he did have a championship title. He's had several championship title runs from Intercontinental Championship. And let's be honest, he did bring a certain level of prestige back to the Intercontinental title.
Yeah, he did. And he's the only WWE superstar that fooled everybody when the Rock music came out and they thought it was the Rock. And it's a white guy with a bald head.
Yeah, very true. Very true.
I mean, so I'm just like, you got to give it to The Miz. I mean, I will respect him at the same level as Edge, but, I mean, there's just people that won't respect. It's just like with, I mean, I know I'm not to switch up, but, like, Tim Duncan is the greatest power forward in NBA history, but he doesn't get the respect that he should get.
And for as far as, like, okay, so since we're talking about it, as far as Tim Duncan goes, why do you think that is for him?
Well, because the difference was that he was, well, it's different between professional wrestling and that, but Tim Duncan wasn't a me guy. I do my work, I go home. Like, he wasn't flashy.
Gotcha. You know,
like, other superstars are like LeBron James and other people.
Well, and I think you're making a very good comparison because, like I said, if you look at it from a business standpoint, and I know this is funny to say about The Miz, but Miz is not flashy. Yes, he's flashy, flamboyant, entertaining, and all that, but he's not doing the big spots. He's not putting his body on the line to try to get that pop from the crowd and whatnot. But at the end of the day, he's not suffering for it, you know?
No, and he still gets under the fan's skin. That's what's even better.
Exactly. He's definitely, you know, he's definitely, I'll give you this, he's definitely underrated as a heel, for sure. For sure. Because, yeah, like, but you said, he gets under the fan's skin still to this day. He'll get a boo.
Yeah, and even like that, I mean, anybody, Vince or whoever, is like, we know we can count on him. I mean, yeah, he had his first serious injury, you know, when he was in that thing with Damian Priest and
Bad Bunny.
Bad Bunny.
Yeah.
And, you know, like that. But I mean, for us, but you can be like, I know I can rely on this guy. This guy never gets hurt. I mean, he's safe. You know, we can count on him.
And not only that, he's always going to he's going to do what Vince asks him to do, you know.
Yeah, he's WWE through and through.
Yeah, and like you had said this to me back during a WrestleMania time when we talked about it as well, is like Vince McMahon chose The Miz to do the whole segment match and everything with Bad Bunny because he knew Miz would take care of him and he knew Miz would make him look good. That says something for sure, because Vince could have picked anybody else, but no, he picked The Miz.
Yeah, and that was probably one of the best matches in WrestleMania.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I mean, shoot. I did not expect to see that kind of action from Bad Bunny. I will tell you that did surprise me. But yeah, you definitely got you. I think at the end of the day, you got to give Miz his props, and I think he does deserve to have a spot in the Hall of Fame because of that. You know, some people may not agree. You know, and at the end of the day, the fact that people don't agree or they don't like the Miz or for whatever that proves he's doing his job, because that's what a good heel does. A good heel makes you not like him, and that's exactly what he's doing. So big props to The Miz. I'm a fan. I it's like going back to, I think I talked to you about this before, with John Cena. I always used to say I wasn't a fan of John Cena. Truth be told, I'm a fan of John Cena. It's just I loved to hate John Cena. And it's the same way with The Miz. I'm not a fan of the character, right, because he's the heel or whatever, and I don't like him. But I do like The Miz because he's doing his job and doing his job well. So big props to The Miz for what he does. I am very anxious to see where this goes with him and Edge.
I don't know for sure, but, I mean, you know, I met The Miz. I met Maurice. Good people, you know. I've been a Miz fan. But with Beth Phoenix leaving the broadcast booth, I mean, there are speculations that since Maurice is coming back, I don't know if she'll be full-time, but that the Edge will rival with The Miz and possibly Beth Phoenix getting involved with the whole Maurice thing. But we'll see.
Oh, I see.
What happens for that?
Well, that would definitely make things interesting for sure. I personally just want to see... because we know Miz can go to that place where he brings realism into whatever story he's telling. He proved it with Daniel Bryan. I mean, that's probably the best promo I have ever heard The Miz do. And that was because he was bringing realism to it, you know? So yeah. I definitely want to see what Edge is going to pull out of him. Because Edge is a beast, man. He's a great storyteller. I mean, I would say it's fair to put him up there with the likes of like a Shawn Michaels or Triple H. That man can tell stories in the ring and on the microphone. To see what he's going to pull out of Miz, I got to be honest, I'm on the edge of my seat for that one. And I usually don't care what the Miz is doing and what he's into. But for this one, I definitely do care. I definitely want to see where he's going with this one. How about you?
Oh, yeah. No, I think it's going to be a good feud. No, it's going to be decent. I mean, I don't know if they'll make a couple of months or if they'll wrestle at day one. But, I mean, I think it'll be a good good back and forth between them to see it going to the new year.
Yeah, and right now I think that's probably going to be the story to watch on Raw because, I mean, I don't know right now what they're doing. Like, Bobby Lashley was a heel, and now it seems like they're trying to turn him face. Am I wrong in seeing that? What are you seeing?
I think they're trying to do what they did with Stone Cold. He's not a good guy. He's not a bad guy. They want him to be dominant, but they want the fans to cheer him, stuff like that. So I think that's more what they're trying to go for. I'm not sure.
That's a good take. Do you think it's going to succeed?
I don't know. I mean, I think they just like when they just dominate people and say one more time, they do it. So, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
It may not. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with that. I like seeing him destroy, honestly.
I'm looking forward to the triple threat match on day one. So.
Yeah, so the triple threat match is going to pit him versus Seth Rollins versus Kevin Owens, right? Am I right or am I wrong?
No,
it's Big E. I'm sorry, I was wrong. Big E,
Kevin Owens,
and Seth Rollins. So
revolutionary, the visionary. Yeah.
So before we go to those three, let me ask: Is Bobby Lashley in anything right now, or are they just kind of doing all these vignettes about him?
I think what they're gonna do with him, I think they're gonna push him to be like so dumb. I think they're gonna feud him with Drew again. Because, I mean, they're good together.
They are. But, man, again, going back to what I've said before, it's like we've seen that already. I don't see what the payoff is there. But to be fair, who else do they got, right? I mean, if I'm being honest.
On Raw, no, we don't have that many people on Raw. Everybody's on SmackDown.
Yeah, and if he's – so Lashley, he's still on Raw, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so he can't do anything with Drew because Drew's on SmackDown.
Oh, that's right. I'm tripping.
Yeah. So I don't know what they're doing with Lashley right now.
Unless they're going to be doing the, I don't know if they're going to do more cross-branding. I mean, that's the only way they can do it. Or, yeah, they just have Lashley dominate until he gets another shot, or maybe he goes in day one and disrupts the triple threat match.
Yeah, I mean, that could be possible, too. But let's talk about that a little bit, the triple threat match. For me right now, that story is – it's entertaining. It doesn't quite have me yet. Like, honestly, I'm a little more interested in the dynamic between Big E and Kevin Owens than I am with Seth Rollins in the mix. And it has nothing to do with Seth Rollins being the heel or anything like that. I think he's doing a great job as a heel. You got to love that laugh that he does. You know, the ha 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 ha. You know, I mean.
Ooh, that was pretty good. That was pretty good.
Thank you.
Do it again. Do it
again. Yeah, thank you. I've been working on it. Anyway, he's doing great with the character, I think. I really do. But I don't know. I like the dynamic, like I said, between Kevin Owens and Big E. But at the same time, I would have liked to have just seen Seth Rollins and Big E go at it. So this triple threat match, yeah, I'm excited to see it. Maybe not completely pumped, but I am somewhat excited. What about you?
I think so. Do you think they're just throwing the bone to Kevin Owens so that he doesn't leave?
So he doesn't leave? That's kind of what I was thinking. I'm not going to lie, because he's kind of teased it. You know what I mean? So yeah. I don't think they want to lose him, because I think, if I'm not mistaken, his contract's going to be coming up soon, isn't it?
Yeah, but I don't know. We can, I don't know if we can talk next session, but yeah, Raw's going to be hot tomorrow, man.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. We'll talk a little bit about what's going to be with Raw here in a second, because I did want to bring up. So let's talk SmackDown now. The big story right now in SmackDown is Brock and Roman. You know, and I hate to say it, but it's the truth, and that's that right now there really is nobody else on that brand that could face Roman. He just they pumped him up way too much. He's too good. They had to bring in Brock. What do you think is going to happen here?
Well, first of all, I want to say that everybody forgets that Brock is funny. And
that he can talk.
Yeah, his segment with Sami Zayn, oh, man.
Oh, it was great. Yeah, it was hilarious.
Just like, yeah, right here in San Antonio. You know, the T5, and I was like.
Yeah,
but
go get him, kid.
Yeah,
go get him.
I mean, yeah, I just think it also shows, like, Sami Zayn, you can put Sami Zayn with anybody. I mean, that dude's such an amazing talent. And, you know. And, you know, doing that. But, yeah, I mean, there was just no way he's going to be Roman Reigns because, like I said, I mean, yeah, you don't have anybody on there. I mean, yeah, you have Drew, like you said. But, I mean, everybody still that watches WWE still knows that they have unfinished business. So, yeah, I mean, it's a no-brainer that, you know, Lesnar is going to fight Roman Reigns again. But at the same time, like I said, I mean, Roman Reigns is still going to win. So it's just like, how many more people after Brock could you put up there? I mean, yeah, you could put Drew, but it just all depends. I mean, you really don't have too many big superstars on Friday Night SmackDown.
Do you think they're going to give it to Roman still?
Yeah, I do. I do. I told you, they want him to break Brock Lesnar's record if he hasn't broken it yet.
Right.
And they want him. Because just think about it. If it goes to day one and he loses again, and then Roman Reigns says, all right, Brock, I'll give you one more shot at WrestleMania. And then whatever, and he beats, if that pay-per-view beats whoever. And then at the end of it, because we already know that's going to be the last match, and he gets on the mic and just says, I've beaten everybody. There's nobody else, and blah blah blah. And then you just hear, if you smell what the Rock is cooking,
right?
I mean, could you? And then they build that up for a year, like they did with Cena and Rock. 1 year, once in a lifetime. I mean, that would be the only thing that you have that. But I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, and so I don't know, man. I'm kind of feeling like they may. This is just my opinion, of course. I'm kind of feeling like they may give it to Brock. And kind of go back and forth, Brock and Roman, for a couple of months. You know what I mean? And then,
yeah, but what would happen to Paul Heyman? They would blame the Bloodline would blame Paul Heyman.
Right, and that would cause a whole different story. So it would definitely make it interesting television. And the only reason I say that, and again, they could be trying to throw us off the trail. But if I'm not mistaken, I could have swore I heard somewhere that The Rock stated that he wasn't going to be at WrestleMania this year.
Yeah, they all say.
I know. And like I said, it could be throwing us off the scent. But I could definitely see kind of a back and forth between Roman Reigns for a little while. between Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, because the whole element with Paul Heyman would make it an interesting story. All I know is that whatever route they take, it's going to have to be Brock and then The Rock, because they're, like you were saying, there's nobody else. And I think it's then going to take somebody coming up from NXT, somebody like a Bron Breakker, maybe, that could then come and dominate, you know. And,
or what would be interesting, I'm not the booker, but if it was to go all the way till next year, and then they say The Rock beat him, and then the next Monday night, main event, Jey Uso comes out and he beats The Rock.
Interesting. Yeah, because that does hold a whole new dynamic, too, is the Usos.
Because, that's basically his new name, main event, Jey Uso. And
right.
Now you can tell he is better than his brother.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
But, I mean, that's, like, way down the line. But I'm just saying, it's just, like, one of those things. Because, I mean, there's going to come a time where Roman Reigns won't need to be the champion to still say he's the head of the table. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Right. No, you're definitely right about that.
But I think right now, for it to be like a complete thing, but like I said, it gets on The Rock schedule and how that goes. But I just don't see Brock doing that, because I mean, you know him. He has selective dates, maybe 10 to 12 dates usually on his contract.
And
not going to be there showing up every time. So
right.
And, you know, he doesn't give – I don't think he cares about – wins and losses or how many championship he has. Because
he just cares about that money.
He wants the contract and he wants to go back to Saskatchewan and go kill things.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. All right, we're going to take another quick break. And when we come back, we're going to wrap this thing up. And we'll talk a little bit more about kind of what's currently going on. And we'll also talk a little bit about what's to come with the podcast. So keep it right here. Here's another word from one of our sponsors.
Going on 10 years in the community, Metroflex Gym has been the place for back to basics, no fluff training. At Metroflex, you'll have the resources available to you to reach your fitness goals, whatever they may be. Owners Daniel Haggerty and David Wheat are available and ready to help guide you in the proper direction to get the best results for your health. Want to lose weight, increase stamina, or gain mass? Daniel Haggerty is a licensed trainer with over 25 years experience in nutrition and training and how to get the most out of your workouts. Come by today for a visit at 2101 Clovis Barker Road, San Marcos, Texas, or call to make an appointment for a tour at 512-878-8575. Homegrown in the community and veteran owned, Metroflex Gym is the hardcore training place for a hardcore workout. Call today.
One more time. You still there, Fanboy Dave?
Yeah, we're still here.
Okay, you haven't been cut off yet or anything. It's been interesting talking to you just on the phone, man.
Yeah, because you don't want to see my handsome face. I'm just joking.
I thought you didn't want to see my ugly face. I thought that's what it was.
That too.
Whatever.
You heard the fan. You say he has an ugly face.
Anyway, definitely we were talking about just some of the storylines that are going on right now in WWE. Definitely some good stuff to grab onto. I'll tell you another interesting one that's going on, Fanboy Dave, that we didn't mention, and that's this little story we got going on with King Woods and the Usos, man. That's been pretty good, man. The fact that Roman Reigns kind of comes into the picture where he crushes the crown, right, and everything. But I am excited about seeing the New Day versus the Usos, man, and you know they always bring it.
Yeah, because Kofi's back.
Yeah, he is back. And he was out because he got injured by the Usos.
So they'll probably fight at day one for the titles.
For sure, for sure. And like I said before, you know they always bring it when they wrestle together. Like, always.
Oh yeah.
So that definitely should be a good match. I'm anxious to see if Xavier Woods is going to bring back a different crown or what he's going to do, you know, because he's still using the moniker King Woods. I love his new music. The new music's dope.
Yeah, it's cool.
So that's another interesting one we got going on. Another story, I guess, that's not, it's doesn't have as much steam as some of the others, but we still got, was it Nakamura and Rick Boogs? And apparently they're still kind of getting under the skin. They are on SmackDown still, right? Or are they on Raw?
No, they're on SmackDown.
Okay, they're on SmackDown. Okay. And they're still getting under the skin of, who is it?
Los Barrios.
Yeah, there you go. I knew who they were. I just didn't remember the team name. I really hope they do something good with these guys because they're pretty good. They're pretty good together. And I mean, I get it. They're family, so they're going to have that chemistry. But I think they need to build them up more as heels. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They definitely need some more TV time for sure. So hopefully here in the coming weeks, we'll get to see a little bit more with Los Lotarios. So, but before we wrap this thing up, Fanboy Dave, I know this is your least favorite thing, but I got to talk a little bit about what's going on in AEW. There is a
I'll take a nap real quick.
There is another, I don't think it's a pay-per-view. I think it's just one of those special shows that they have coming up. I think it's called, like, Winter is Coming. It's going to be in a couple of weeks. We got the champion.
Game of Thrones?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. They're basically making it sound like Game of Thrones. Wow. But to be fair, to be fair, the New Day did it too. He called Kofi his hand, the hand of the king. They did that in Game of Thrones. So, you know, both brands are touching on that. So, anyway. But we got Hangman Adam Page, and he's going to be going against Bryan Danielson. Now, you said something earlier during the break that you were talking about how he's getting booed now, Bryan Danielson. You haven't been watching the program, I know, but to be fair, yeah, he's getting booed because he is playing the heel right now. And he's been doing a really good job of it. And he's taking that attitude that he had when he came in. You were the one that brought it up in the podcast, and we talked about it a few weeks back, where he said he's not there to help the younger talent. He's there to basically kick their heads in. Remember?
Yep.
So that's basically the character standpoint he's taking. So he's getting a lot of heat, man. And it's good heat. And he's been putting on some stellar matches. But, yeah, there's going to be a title match between him and Hangman Adam Page. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing it. But right now the talk of the town has been MJF and CM Punk. Now, we're still early in this because they haven't even announced any kind of a match between the two. Right now, it's just been verbal shots going back and forth. So we've got that storyline definitely going. A lot of other stuff going on. You have Dante Martin, who just joined Team Taz. And, of course, they've kind of got a little bit of a feud going on with Leo Rush. That's got some interesting things going on there. We have yet to see what that's going to accumulate to. You did know Leo Rush was in AEW, right?
No.
Yeah, he's in AEW. He's wrestled already a few times, and I got to tell you, he's killing it, man. But I think you can agree with me that he's always been a talented individual, to say the least. Short as hell, but yeah.
The man of the hour.
Yeah, he was very short. He's so short. I don't know if I ever told you this. I was at a WWE live event when he was still with Lashley. And I made everybody around me laugh because I yelled out. I was pretty close to the front row, so he heard me. And I yelled out, I go, somebody get their child away from ringside. And everybody started laughing because he is a small dude, man. He's very small. So, but anyway, he's got a pretty good storyline right now going on with Dante Martin. And Dante Martin is one hell of a talent, man. He is really good. We also got there's a current feud going on with FTR that you mentioned and the Lucha Brothers. I'm not sure if they're going to be, I think they are going to be facing each other in a couple of weeks. We also got in the women's division, they're still going on with that tournament for the TBS title because Dynamite will be moving to TBS as of January, and that's going to be the title. It's going to be a women's title. And so the final four, I believe, are Thunder Rosa, Jade Cargill, and I can't remember the other two. Oh, yeah, Ruby Soho, and I want to say Riho, but I can't remember. So it's going to be an interesting one, to say the least, but this is the semifinals. So we'll find out probably by January who's going to be the TBS champion. A lot of good matches that have been going on in AEW. They definitely keep you on the edge of the edge of your seat. AEW, a lot less talking, more wrestling. That they've always been that way, and that's definitely something that they're doing right now. But overall, I think right now we've got quality programming on both brands. So definitely check out both brands, because right now they're not doing too bad. WWE's been actually...
Another numbers drop. I saw that.
Yeah, I saw that too. WWE's definitely been putting on some good shows lately. So it's going to be interesting to see how they end the year. So
what are you talking about, man? Monday Night Raw tomorrow.
Yes. Tell us what's going to go on with Monday Night Raw tomorrow, Fanboy Dave.
You got the big match, man, with Big E versus Kevin Owens in the steel cage.
Oh, excellent. And then, of course, the big title match between the man, Big Time Bex, and Liv Morgan.
Liv Morgan, that's right.
I am interested in seeing that one. I know Liv's not going to win, but still, I am interested in seeing that one for sure.
Of course you're not going to win. And then we'll see what happens with Edge and The Miz. That'll be interesting. See if Edge or if the A-lister Miz comes back at him or something, or talks about his family. You know how The Miz is.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
I mean, right now I think that's the only update we have on the card for tomorrow. So I'm sure Damian Priest will wrestle again tomorrow.
So overall, it's still going to be a good show to watch. You don't want to miss Raw tomorrow night. Now, as far as our podcast goes, as Fanboy Day was saying, he had some opportunities come up. He's been a busy, busy man. We are going to do our best to try to get episodes out as much as we can. I'd be probably a little too optimistic to say weekly, but we can definitely try. We'll see how it goes. After this one, we're going to try and release another one pretty soon. But we're going to keep the content coming to you. And once we get on a schedule that seems to be more in place, we will definitely let you know. But until then, make sure you keep checking your social medias. Definitely email us. We'll keep you in contact and let you know what's going on. So would you agree with that, Fanboy Dave?
Yep.
So just always remember, you can always contact us at brosofdiscussion@gmail.com. Send us your suggestions, send us any emails at all. We're growing slowly but surely, but still that's all right. You can also find us on all of our social medias. We have Facebook, we have Instagram, we have Twitter. Just search Brothers of Discussion and you should see us there. Please reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. Real quick shout out I want to give. We had my cousin, or our cousin Roland, on a few weeks ago, and he was talking about Atlas wrestling promotion there in Uvalde, Texas. Their big show is coming up on the 18th of this month in Uvalde. It's called, I believe it was called Olympus. I will be there, Fanboy Dave. I'm going to be attending this show.
Yeah, have fun.
Yeah, I wish you were coming with me, man. I think it's going to be a good show. I'm hoping to interview some of the wrestlers there, and they're saying that it's going to be the biggest event of the year, so we'll have to wait and see. I'll just give you the cliff notes. Okay. Yeah. And then I got to come back, because then I have to make menudo for the next day. So, but I am excited about it. It should be a good show. If you're in the Uvalde area or close by, go check them out. Look them up online. It is the Atlas Wrestling Promotion, and they still have tickets available, and they're not expensive. I got front row tickets for $35. That's not bad. So
they couldn't give you a backstage pass. You know, your cousin works there, can't give you a backstage pass.
So yeah, so hey man, you got to support, you know, your family, man. I have no problem paying the money. So check them out online. If you can get to the show, get out there. If you're a fan of the podcast, you see me, come say hi. I'll be more than happy to say hello back and talk to you a little bit, and show you embarrassing pictures of Fanboy Dave. All right, so anyway.
And if you're a lady, then he shows you pictures and you like, you can give him the phone number and I'll hit you up.
Well, there you go. Want to thank you guys so much for tuning in this week to our show. We're very happy to be able to put this content back out there. Again, as I stated before, if you have any ideas or any feedback whatsoever, just shoot us an email. We'll be more than happy to get back to you. Listen, I also want to say we call it our sister podcast, because if it wasn't for the other podcast, we wouldn't really have this podcast. But I do want to put out there to check out the What's On My Mind podcast. with me, Rob T, and Big Will. We do have weekly episodes that we release. We also have a website, and that website is wompodcast.com. That's wommpodcast.com. Please go check it out. So anyway, but that's all we got for you today. So I am Rob T.
And I'm Fanboy Dave.
And you've been listening to the Brothers of Discussion.